We received a testimony and a letter from an inmate. Actually, he's an ex-offender. He says, I'm in DOC, but Christ has set me free. And I thought to myself, man, what an amazing testimony. So let me give you this scripture, and then we'll share the message. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17, it says, and now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, help me out, there is, yeah, liberty or freedom. Y'all are in the right place. So let us pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Help us to walk in freedom, to prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. Father, thank you for making all grace abound toward us in every way. Thank you for protection. Thank you for healing. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for a heart to give, to advance your kingdom. So may your kingdom come. May your will be done. Thank you, God, that all of our needs are met. Now speak to us today. Give us a word of freedom, regardless of what we might be going through. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And those agree with that prayer, why don't you give him your best praise right now? Give him, come on and give him your best praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege and a pleasure it is for me to stand before you today. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever and to all generations. And when I think of that passage, for the Lord is a spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And King James Version people, there is liberty. When I received that letter from the individual from DOC, it blessed me because God desires us to live in freedom. Regardless of our location, he desires us to live in freedom. Whether you know it or not, the Apostle Paul wrote several encouraging letters. Four books of the Bible was written from prison about freedom. And some would say, well, how would he know about freedom if he was locked up? Can I pose the question, or maybe present to you the thought, that perhaps freedom has less to do with someone being out from behind bars and less to do with chains and wherever, but it's more about what God has done on the inside of our hearts. You can be in bars, but you know, if God has liberated you from the inside, you can walk in freedom regardless of what it looks like on the outside. Can I get a good amen in this house? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, y'all can give him praise. He's a good God. So it's about the Spirit of God dwelling in us that causes us to walk in that kind of freedom. So let me share with you our first point, is that we are free to live life to the full regardless of what happens to us. I don't care what happens to us, because many people, their freedom is based upon what happens. And I'm talking about circumstance and situation. I love what John 10 and 10 says. It says, and you all probably know it, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to do what? Destroy. So the thief has an agenda, and his agenda is very, very clear: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he's going to try to mess up your freedom, kill your joy, and destroy your life. That's his agenda. So you already know it's not a secret. He comes, but look what the transition says. I have come, talking to Jesus, and it's written in red. I have come that they, or that you might have what? And that you might do what? More abundantly, or live it to the full. I thank God for the King James Version people that have it converted to memory. Hallelujah. I come that you might have life, and that you might live it to the full, or have it more abundantly. I also like how it says it in, I think it's in the Amplified Version, where it says that you might have life to the full and that it overflows. When I think about that, it overflows. It's good to have that kind of life in the midst of trouble and trials, that you can still have overflow life that flows into somebody else's life. used to wonder why they would have, that mom would drink coffee and dad that when I was coming up, and those coffee drinkers would have a saucer under it. I don't see it as much now. Or if they were drinking tea, they would have a saucer under it. And I used to wonder, well, what's the saucer for? Well, the saucer is for the overflow. So if they poured and it was overflowing from the cup, it was in a saucer. Some of us need a saucer anointing, a saucer blessing. You might not be the cup, but you may want to be the saucer that overflows in too. Are you with me today? So he says blessings that overflow. Same way when he talks about milk and honey. You know, he talks about the land that overflows with milk. In other words, you'll get taken care of and then them around you will get the hook up. Now, for those that you're in the streets, just it's like when they was at a party and some other people were smoking and they was getting high. And you wasn't smoking, but you was just high because of the... So y'all don't like that example. But some of y'all wasn't always saved. You got a contact. Now some of y'all gonna get a contact in here today just because the Holy Spirit is flowing. Come on, give him a praise. He's that kind of God. So it's very, very important. And I want to just bring this home over and over again. Stuff is going to happen. It's going to happen in your life. It's going to happen in your marriage. I'm being truthful. I've been married for 42 years. And if I told you that we didn't ever have a problem, you know I would be lying. Because sometimes Jita gets in the flesh. I'm just saying. She can't be in the spirit 365 days a year. You know, I'm just saying that if I told you that ministry, as much as I love ministry, and it's been a privilege and a joy for me to serve you, what a joy it is. There's been some challenges. Some challenges you probably saw and some you did not see, because there's some things that go behind the scenes. But there are things that happen. But here's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be free. And how does that happen? You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty, regardless of what happens to us. There's an example of this in the book of Genesis, and it talks about someone that if they had an opportunity to have an attitude, it would be Joseph, because even though he was blessed in so many ways, man, was that dude blessed. He was the son and daughter of Jacob and Rachel, and if you know the story of Rachel, and that was That's the one that Jacob loved so much, and he's the one that he worked for 7 years, and then said, man, when it was time, he said, it seemed like just but a day. He was just like, he was in love, for real. He can work for somebody for 7 years. Some people won't even work 7 days for you. 7 years. And at the end of it, he said, seemed like but a day. Come here, girl. Let you know, that was Joseph's mother. He was his father's favorite. He was blessed, given the coat of many colors, and he had a dream. God's hand was upon his life, and he spoke of that dream because God put that in his heart, and he began to walk in that freedom because he knew that God had something special for him. But here's the thing that I want to share with you is that, you know, between the time God speaks to you and gives you a vision and dream, and I encourage us to hear the voice of God and walk in that very call that God has given you. But here's the thing. There's, you know, how can I say this? When we share this story, most of us don't have the time to see it as it totally was because of the length of it. Sometimes we think, okay, Joseph was challenged, and at the end of the message, 30 minutes later, he came out of prison, and he was second in charge. That's not how it happened. There was time that took place, and it's not a hard thing to receive the promise, but in the meantime, between when you receive the promise, the pit, the prison, and the palace, a whole lot of things take place. Are y'all with me today? Some of you all are in the meantime right now. You've received the call, you've received the promise, but you've received the vision, but it hasn't manifested itself yet. What do you do in the meantime? I've asked that so many times because I've received so many promises. God spoke to my heart. But guess what, folks? God is not in a hurry. Jesus, when he was on earth, he would take his time and do what he, sometimes he'd even take 4 days before he showed up. Folks would be mad at him. He was like saying, man, Mary, Martha, it'd be okay. Where is he? He said, but he's thinking now like I don't know he's thinking. He says, rise, Lazarus, rise. Can I let you know that God, I believe God today wants your situation to rise regardless of whatever you've gone through, whatever has happened in your life, and he wants you to live life to the full. Now, here's one thing I want to share with you is after his brothers sold him to traitors and he went to Israel or Egypt from the pit, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer, he was in servitude, in place of slavery, actually. I love this passage, and they probably have it on the screen, and this is Genesis 9:39, 1 through 4. And if you have it, I ask that you turn to it. You said, Pastor, why should I turn to it? It's going to have it on the screen. I want you to take it home, which I don't usually do that, but some scriptures I think you need to take home with you. Amen. Yeah, he said, well, I ain't at that point yet, but. In this passage, if they have it on the screen, they'll probably put it up there when they do. It says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar. And he was an Egyptian officer. And Potiphar was captain of the guard. And here's what the scripture, and this is the one I want you to lock into, even if you don't have it, even if they don't put it on the screen, but that's okay. It's this. The Bible says that the Lord was with him. When you look at that passage and you see all that happened to him, and see, this is what I want to encourage some of you, because you think because something happened to you that you're by yourself and you're not in God's will. That's not always the case. Can I get a witness in this house? Just because you're in the midst of a whole bunch of stuff right now, it doesn't mean you messed up. Just because you're in a pit right now and somebody said it for you, it doesn't mean you've messed up. Just because people don't understand you, see, he must have done something. That's not always the case. The Bible says, some say, well, he messed up, therefore God is not with him. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says God was with him. Sometimes when you go into a trial and situation, you need to know that you're not by yourself, but God is with me in the midst of my situation, in the midst of my circumstance. Are you with me today? Man, they used to sing a song in the old days. It was kind of a call and response. They say, take the Lord along with you. And the response would be, everywhere you go. And man, they would get happy on that song. Take the Lord along with you everywhere. Then they go to, you're going to need him, you're going to need him. Why? Because they know that I don't care where you go, as long as the Lord is along with you, somehow you're coming out better than you went in. I don't care what it looks like, somehow. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody said, you need to take him with you. Let me hear you say, you need to take him with you. Yeah, take him with you everywhere you go. He went to prison. Before that, he was in the pit. God was with him in the pit. Then they took him out of the pit, sold him to Egypt in the prison. And actually into slavery. And while he was there, God was still with him. Can I challenge you today, folks? I don't care what you're in the midst of. Man, just know that because God is with you and his presence is with you, there's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Yeah, there is. So I don't care where you are, who's talking about you, who don't like you, there's freedom. There's certain people, when you know that they're with you, you can actually walk in that freedom. Even right now, some of you are tight about a particular situation. Know that if God is with you, you can be free to breathe and recognize that you're coming out with the victory. Are you with me today? Come on, let's bless him real big because he's that kind of God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So there was something that says, you don't have to wait till the battle is over, but you can shout now. Now, that's a faith shout. Some people like to shout once they get out the pit. Oh, I'm out the pit now. I'm out the prison now. I can shout. My bill is paid. You don't have to wait till the bill gets paid. You can praise God right now. Are you with me today? Yeah, you're in a situation. You may have a sickness or an illness. You don't have to wait till they say that you're well. You can shout before it's well. Are you with me today? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm so glad, and this is something, I'm getting ready to move on to the next thing. But what if Joseph had waited till he got to the palace before he began to give God praise, before he began to bless God? Let me just share this with you. Joseph was 17 when he was sold into Egyptian slavery, 17. And he was about 26 when he was falsely accused. Now, if he had just waited and said, well, I'm just going to wait till God fixes it all, that would have been almost 10 years of his life gone. He was about 28 in prison when he interpreted the dream of the baker and the cupbearer, and about 30 when he interpreted Potiphar's dream and was made overseer. So that's 13 years that he would have wasted of his life if he was waiting. I believe that there are many people today that they are waiting for their day, their ship to come in, waiting for all this stuff to happen before they can really give God the praise he deserves. I'm telling you, no, you don't have to wait. You don't have to say, when this happens, I'm going to give you praise. No, you can bless him now because by faith it's already done. Are you with me today? Thank you, God. 13 years would be a long time to be angry at your brothers. I'm preaching today. 13 years is a long time to say, well, they did me wrong, and you're in prison, and you're over and over, going over it in your head, going over in your head, they did me wrong. Some of y'all are in they did me wrong mode right now. And some even say, I'll never forgive them. I'll never. You don't know what they did to me. They hurt me. And over again, we've got to recognize that we cannot stay in that place of anger. We cannot stay in that place of bitterness. We cannot stay in that place of rage because it's not healthy for us. Somebody give God praise in this house. Look what Genesis 39 and 2 says. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in what? In everything he did. And they're going to put it on the screen. Thank you so much. Give our media people a big hand. They do a great job. Thank you so much. And they took it off the screen when I said that. Oh, thank you so much. Well, I got to treat them right because they can mess with me up here if they wanted to. So the Lord was with Joseph. Now, here's my thing, folks. When the Lord is with you, what happens? So he did what? Succeeded in everything he did. Everything he did. He was wrong, sold into slavery. They were talking about killing him while he was listening because the brothers were there. They snatched off his coat of many colors. And know what he did? God was still with him, so he exceeded in everything that he did. And now I want to throw something out here. It says, as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. I want you to grasp something here, is that you can tell when some people have a bad attitude about what has happened to them because they wear it all over their face. And I've got to share this with you because this is a word to people of color. Wow, I don't care what people do to you. You don't have to wear it as a badge of honor. Am I preaching okay? Some say, I ain't gonna say amen to that. I know, I'm just letting you know that in the midst of the hurts and pains, you know what happened? This guy had enough God in him to be free, not based upon his circumstance, outward circumstances, but what was on the inside of him, to serve well, and not only serve well, but had a good attitude, because bad attitude people aren't quickly promoted. Am I doing okay? If you got a bad attitude, they say, let's promote the one with the bad attitude. That rarely happens. I'm just helping y'all a little bit out. Sisters, I know y'all love me. Bad attitude women don't get married first. No, I better run. Let me just ask you a question. How many men out there are looking for a woman with a bad attitude? Let me flip it. How many of women are looking for a man with a bad attitude? I see no hands out there. Point proven. Give God praise. Why did Joseph excel? Why did he succeed in everything he did? He had a good attitude. He knew how to release people of the debt and the wrong that was done to them. Thank you, God. I better move on. So let me just share this, my next point. Don't let unforgiveness hinder you or hinder your walk of faith. Don't let it hinder your walk of faith. Don't let unforgiveness is in your heart about what they did to you, what they did to the group of people. Don't let it hold you back. Maintain a good attitude. And people look at you smiling. Why are you smiling like you don't know like I know what he's done for me? Why you got your hands up? Why you pray? You don't know. This is not the end, man. This is just the beginning. And God is going to show up and show himself strong before it's all over with. And I don't care what I've been through. I'm coming out on the other end with so much power, so much strength. I'm coming out with a testimony. I'm coming out with a pep in my step. And I'm not waiting till the battle is over. I'm going to shout right now, because I know my God will supply every one of my needs. He'll open doors. He'll make ways. He's God. No one can do us like he can. And I don't want to get excited. I got to get back in the word. I'm just letting you know, I don't have to be mean and ugly. And thank you, Jesus. That's the thing that blessed me so much about my mom is that, you know, she had some things she shared with me, and I was upset for a moment. And then she began to say, Wayne, it's my middle name. And man, I love her. Think about it. You know, she's like 84. And when she talks, I listen really carefully, and whatever she says, I do. I'm a mama's boy, just to be truthful about it. And but when she was letting me know, she said, Wayne, those people that did that are dead. They're dead. She says, and this is, I asked her to get permission first. She says, before I would say anything, she says, you know, my mom, her biological mom that left her with her, with a relative, she said that was the best thing that my mom could have done, because my mom wasn't ready to raise me, but I grew up in a house that loved God. They prayed for me, taught me, and brought me to church. I was like, Mom, that's a really good attitude. How many of you all know that having a good attitude makes a huge difference? You can praise God. I don't care what the situation is. Stub my toe. Thank you, Lord, anyway. We sang a song, hallelujah anyhow. Never ever let your problems get you down. But when the problems come your way, lift your hands up high and say, hallelujah anyhow. Somebody give him a praise right now, anyhow. So don't let unforgiveness hinder your walk of faith. And why do I say the walk of faith? And Joseph could have. Check this passage out. Genesis 50, 15. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us? Because they know they did dirt. And pay us back for all the wrong we did to him. Man, ain't that something? So they sent, you know, some folks don't know, they know they dogged you. Ain't no they messed over you. Ain't no way they didn't. That's why they staying away. So the scripture says, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong we did to him? And then it says, so they sent a word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions. I'm not sure if the dad really said it or not, but because, you know, they had a family full of slicksters, because even Jacob himself meant trickster, and they changed his name to Israel. I'm just letting you know, Rachel was the one that tricked Laban. I'm just letting you know, the family was slick. Think about it, Leah. Oh man, I don't want to go there, but Jacob woke up, he says, whoa, what's up? So it wasn't the woman that he thought he had. So it was from a family of this. Moving on, now the grandkids are operating, and they said, well, let's tell him this. And here's what he says in the 17th verse. This is what you are to say to Joseph. This is the brothers sending them on up, thinking that something wrong is going to happen to him. He says, I ask you to forgive your brothers. They're sending this note. Forgive them the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Forgive, he's saying. I ask you to forgive. So please forgive the sins of the servants. Now, do you see they want forgiveness? Can I share this with you? Many of us are going to be in a situation where when someone forgives us or asks for forgiveness, we'll have a decision to make. And you know, forgiveness is not a feeling, but it's a decision. It's a decision not to hold that wrong over their head. It's a decision not to punish them for the wrong that they did. It's a decision that you're going to pray for them and that you want the best for them. It's a decision that you don't want them to perish. It's a decision that you don't want them to hurt, because, and sometimes that's not always the easiest for you to do, because sometimes you want them to hurt. Because I've seen some people, when they come back, when they mess up, you know, and they got to come to you because, you know, you got the house and the car and stuff. And the bank account. So they come back. See, I knew he was going to come back. See, he should be on his knees crawling. I mean, can't we go there? We can go there. See, there they come. I knew it. It's been looking out the window waiting for him to come. I already know what you want. But that's not how Joseph did it. And I pray that in the meantime, just like Ephesians 4:31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander of all types of evil behavior. And I had to work on this, and I'm just sharing my story with you. There have been times that I even in ministry have had times of unforgiveness and bitterness. And I'm just being real with you, is that during those times, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, son, until you deal with that, things will not go how I want them to for you. And have any of you all ever just said, God, you know, I hear your voice, Holy Spirit, I hear your voice. And when you hear your voice, hear his voice, and just begin to say, God, I want your will to be done and not mine. And I remember the very time that I asked the individual to forgive me. Man, it seemed like a weight, a heavy load. The chain just seemed like it just broke at that point. And the very thing that I'd been praying for started coming and started overflowing. Why? Because you're walking in forgiveness. Unforgiveness can hinder you. Are y'all with me today? There's a passage that we as a church stand on, and I quote it quite often. It says, this is King James Version quote. So it says, for verily, verily, I say unto you, so whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, they shall, but believe in their heart that, let me make sure I get it right. Yeah. Cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but they shall believe that those things which they say shall come to pass. He shall have what? whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, help me out, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And we stop there. But that's not the end of it. So we start speaking to our mountains. Mountain, I come against you. You got to come down. You know, sickness and disease, you've got to get out of my. I decree and I declare that for victory and so forth. But that's not the end of the story. There's more to it. Somebody said there's more to it. Look at the 25th verse. It says, and when you stand praying, do what? They'll have it on the screen soon. It says, and when you stand praying, forgive that if anyone has an ought against you, if you have an ought against anyone, that your heavenly Father may also forgive you your trespasses. In other words, he's saying, there's more to the story. Yeah, you can speak to the mountain. Yeah, you can speak to your headache, your situation. But if you are in grudges, don't think it's going to happen. Are y'all still with me? When I read that passage, I was like, God, help me release anybody that's ever said anything, that's ever wronged me. In fact, I begin to look for people to forgive. Hey, I forgive this when I begin to think. In fact, right now, think about somebody that you may need to forgive and recognize that you don't want them to hinder your faith walk so you won't receive all that God has for you. I'm not allowing them to hold me back from walking in all that God has called me. Come on, give him real good praise. Woo! Let me read that scripture and you can take it home with you. It says, verily I say unto you, and another passage says, have the God kind of faith. You know, I love this passage. It says, therefore, I say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. You've got the voice to speak to mountains, and the mountains has to get out of your way and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he shall have what he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and when you stand praying, forgive if ye have an ought against anyone. Will you take this home with you? So your prayers will be right. And so God can open some doors and the things that you've been praying about will be released. Let it go. Give God a shout in this house. This is my last point, and I'm bringing it home. I am. As Jacob, or the son of Joseph, or Joseph, the son of Jacob, was in a place where his brothers came to him and asking him to forgive him. One place it says Joseph made all the Egyptians get out of the room. Y'all need to go. Why? Because some stuff is family. This is for us to discuss. You need to know all about it. Thank you, God. You don't need to know that. You know, some would like to put it on blast and tell you what everybody did. No. Y'all leave right now. Y'all leave. This is some inside stuff we got to deal with. Wow. And then the Bible says he wept. I mean, it's a heart thing. And some of you all, I'm not saying that it don't hurt. I'm not saying that feelings don't get involved. They do. They do. The Bible says he wept. And when I look at this passage, he says to them, I'm not God, or am I God that I should punish you? Why did he say that? Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You don't have the right to punish people. You don't have the right to beat them down, say how long they need to be ostracized from the family. And then he says this, and this is where we've we end. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good. Can I share this with you? Thank you, God. And you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for my good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Thank you, God. Here's my last point. What God is doing in you is greater than what is happening to you. Say it with me. What God is doing in me is greater than what's happening to me. Now, how many of you all believe that? Why don't you stand on your feet as I wrap this. One more time, what God is doing in me is greater than what's happening to me. Thank you, God. In other words, God did an amazing work on the inside of Joseph. I mean, touched his heart, the process of healing, elevated him, took him from the pit to the very dream that God called him to operate in, that your brothers will bow down to you and for him to save the lives of many. Can I let you know, I want to ask this question. Are you willing to give your life unto God? Saying, God, I yield my life to you that you might use it, that you might get the glory. It might mean that you might have to go to the pit. It might mean that you might be falsely accused. It might mean that you end up in prison. But if that happens, you've got to maintain a good attitude. Witness to a neighbor and say, how's your attitude? Some people say, I've been wanting to ask them that for a while. I want you all to remind me that when I might be in a moment, I want an attitude check. So I don't care what it looks like. I want my attitude to be right. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. I glorify you. You're a good God. Regardless of what's going on, you're a good God. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Some said, but if you can either focus on what people did, because where your focus goes, your energy flows. And some have put all their focus, all their energy in something that don't even matter. I want you right now to bow your heads, and I want you to just, like I do sometimes, think about anything that may hinder you or that has hindered you. And even if it's a person, it's time to just release them. So just even search your mind. If this is a hindrance, yeah. You don't have to call their name, but you can just take a moment and just release them in the name of Jesus, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Just release them in the name of Jesus. I believe that as you release them, you open your arms to supernatural blessings coming into your life in every way. Better attitude, more sleep, be at peace, lower blood pressure, laying aside pills that you don't even need. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I see healing taking place right now in the body of Christ for those who received it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your presence, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Thank you, God. Thank you for freedom. Shake yourself. There's just freedom in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shake off all that old stuff. Hallelujah. Feels better, don't it? Somebody give him a real good praise in this house. I mean, give him a real good praise. Let's bless him, God. Hallelujah. 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 Now, Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. For your word is so powerful. Thank you, God, for your word sets us free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Father, I thank you that we may have come one way, but we're leaving a different way. I thank you, God, that we release anyone that's ever done anything wrong. I thank you, God, that now we can speak to our mountains. Our mountains have to get out of the way, and the very things that we desire when we pray, it will take place. So we give you praise and glory for that. In the matchless name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that families are being restored. I thank you, God, that relationships are being restored. Father, I thank you, God, that healing is taking place and deliverance is taking place. I thank you that races are coming together, black and white and brown and all the different colors coming together, worshiping you. I come against the very stronghold of politics, of Democrat and Republican. Let's lift you up, God. You get the glory. We release them in the name of Jesus. May this place be a place of freedom, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom in this house, liberty in this house. We decree it and we declare it in the matchless name of Jesus. And those agree with that prayer, why don't you give him a praise in this house? Because he is God. Hallelujah.